It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 10, the 16th verse is where we're going to begin today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'm glad that you've joined us. Our mailing address, if you would like to write to us, is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And I am glad that you've joined us, and now we'll begin the reading. We don't stay long. We just get right into the study. It's always important that we can enjoy the study of God's Word and look at it clearly and know what God wants us to do today. And so please that you'll look to the Word with me today, Exodus chapter 10, verse 16. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea, and there remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be left. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast all spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time, enjoy this study. Such a wonderful opportunity that you have given me and this church to proclaim your word across the radio, that so many can listen and come and hear and learn of you, find their means of salvation, the need to be saved, need to come by faith to you and be saved. Father, they're just multitudes are dying in their sin, dying each day. And today is the day of salvation. So please, dear Lord, that anyone that is lost, that does not know you, has not come into the personal relationship with you, they have not trusted in the sacrifice that you have given, the sacrifice upon Calvary of your own life that we may live. Please, dear Lord, that they would come and trust in you. You paid such an awful price to save us. It is so sad that there would be one person miss that free gift that you've given. So please that they come and trust in you today. And then, Father, as we do trust in you and begin to walk with you, that this study will be a help that helps us to walk closer to you each day, praising you, honoring you, acknowledging you as our God, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful study that we have here, and to learn the ways of God, the miracles of God, the strengths of God. And when we look at these plagues that are coming down before Pharaoh, you know, Many times we think of miracles. We get into the New Testament when the Lord Jesus was walking here upon the earth for the 33 years, and then the 3 years particularly of his ministry, and we saw his work, we saw his power, we saw his strength in healing multitudes and raising the dead, doing so much. And so here we come, and now we maybe don't look at these as being miracles, but they're no less miracles than the parting of the Red Sea or the parting of the Jordan River. These are miracles because God is taking his, in many cases here, nature, and he is using it to show his power and his strength. You wonder why that as we continue to read here, and either Pharaoh hardens his heart, or the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart. Why did these things continue to have to happen to Pharaoh and Egypt? That's kind of an easy question, because he just continued to rebel, and so did the people of Egypt. But why didn't he let the people of Israel go earlier? Why did he go through? I mean, we've been through the water into blood, the frogs, the lice, flies, the disease with the cattle, the boils. We're at the hail with fire, and now we're at the locusts here in this section of Scripture. We've just read concerning the 3 days of darkness, and then we know that the last and final one was the death of the firstborn. But why, if the only thing that was going to happen was that the continued to harden Pharaoh's heart, the people of Egypt continued to reject, why didn't he just let Israel go? Because Israel needed to see the power of God. And Egypt needed to see the power of God. You don't reject God without a price. There's a tremendous and awful cost when you reject Jesus Christ. Now, if you're listening today and you've just continued to do so, please, today be the day. Because the price, the cost here, it destroyed their land. They had nothing left by the time they were there. Even the death of their firstborn was the final blow. But as God would take of his, something of his, which nature is his, this world is his, this earth is his, and he would take that and turn that from something of a blessing or something of common life to a curse. And we've seen that when the water was turned into blood. The water is something that was the life to them, and yet he turned it to a curse. The frogs are something that they always had. But God brought that natural fact and act and multiplied it so many times that those frogs were everywhere. The lice was as if the ground was moving. The beetles the same way. The cattle disease. It just, all these things were a part of their life. But he took them from the normal and brought them unto the abnormal. But God can do that. God is the God that created this world. God is the God that created me and spoke Adam and Eve into existence. That's where we came from. We're his creation. And so for us to deny that we need a Savior because of what Adam and Eve took care of when they ate of the forbidden fruit and threw us into the cursed world and into sin, he recognized that we needed salvation, and from that very point, he began to tell them how to be saved, how they can have the free gift of salvation, and they were looking then for 4,000 years forwards to the cross of Calvary. Now, Jesus Christ has come. He has sought us, he has saved us, and we need just to trust in that free gift of salvation that he hands us because he died for us. Went to that grave, and he died for us that you and I can live. We need to come to him. We need to trust in him. Now, we're going to witness, as we live, miracles of God. And it's wonderful to watch God work. Sometimes it's in the hand of a curse to those that deny him. And many times it's a blessing to those that love him. And here we find exactly the same thing. Pharaoh has turned against God. And you says, well, it says in a couple times here that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. There's only a certain point in time, I've said it again and again, and I'll continue to say it. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to surrender and serve the Lord. There is nothing of tomorrow. We have no promise tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Today is the day. We can't go back to yesterday, and we can't wind it back and look to yesterday and say, boy, salvation, I've got to be saved. So I'm going to be saved. I missed that yesterday. Yesterday can never be returned. And so you see, if yesterday was the last opportunity you're going to have for salvation, then it doesn't matter what you do today. Now, if you're listening and the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart right now, it's not too late. So please come to Him and please be saved. Please trust in Him for salvation and begin that wonderful personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron in haste, it says in the 16th verse, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once. Entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. You see, Pharaoh still wasn't worried about his sin. He was in a terrible place, a terrible position. The locusts had come upon the land, and the locusts didn't have a lot to eat because of everything else that had been brought on and destroyed. And if you'll remember, we even had a discussion that the people said, you know, that please, let them go, because they've destroyed everybody. How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the man go. That was the call in back in verse 7. And so it was enough then that he did call Aaron and Moses in before him, and he says, okay, you can go ahead and go, but just your men, just the men go. Everybody else stays. Well, he says, no. And then you remember we've already had the discussion too of there's been a couple different times that Pharaoh has tried to compromise. One is that just the men go. Another time is just worship here. Now, you can just worship here. And remember what we talked about there. We've got to come out of the world. The world has gotten into our churches today so strong that you really can't tell any difference from the time you go in the church or out of the church. It just doesn't much matter anymore. But it should. There should be a separation. There should be a division. There should be a tremendous difference between a lost person and a saved person. There's got to be a difference. And we've got to be, when you're a born-again believer, you're going to change, and you'll begin to hate and despise the things of this world. We still have to live in the world. God gives us a strength and a peace and a joy, even though we're still in this world. But we need to continue to tell folks about the saving power of Jesus Christ, and we need to stop compromising. Stop compromising. You know, we have so many things today that everybody is to come together. And it's, you know, there's so many organizations, Christian groups, that bring in all different denominations together. And they say they become one. We're in unity. Well, if you look at the doctrines of those churches, there is difference of night and day. And many times, they have forsaken the Word of God. Now, how am I to have fellowship under those conditions? I'm to have fellowship with the Lord, and I'm to have fellowship with folks that are like-minded, those that love the Word of God and desire to know the Word of God. That's who I have great fellowship with. So please, do not compromise. The call went out a couple of times, and we're going to find one more. The call went out from Pharaoh. Okay, I'll let you do it, but this is the way we're going to do it. And Moses says, no. God said. Now that's what we need to do. And another time he came, and Pharaoh gave this compromise. And in that compromise, why Moses said, no, God said. And we're going to find this last time that Moses doesn't even honor him with a response. Now, we're to the place here at the 16th verse that these locusts have come over all the land of Egypt, and very grievous were they, it says. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. After the hail got done, the locust showed up. Can you imagine? We've had tornadoes through this area, and a few years ago there, why we had one that really hit the town very, very hard and took many houses and trees. And there was another one that was south of us here that come up through the bottom land and onto the bluff and across a little town and just devastated the town. And as you see that destruction, and, you know, to this day, and it's in a couple instances here, it's been several years ago, and yet you can still see how that tornado tore those trees up. It just tore them up. And especially the place where it went up over the bluff down in the bottoms. You drive down through there and you can still see where that wide path of that tornado went up over that hill and just ripped those trees and tore those trees, killed those trees. But can you imagine, out of all these plagues that have faced Egypt, what that land is beginning to look like? And it's not just one little path, you know, a quarter or half mile path that this took. It was the land of Egypt. And it was devastated. It devastating. And here this come once again now, and these locusts ate what everything else left, which wasn't much. And it says they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, and they remained not any green thing on the trees or the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Look at that. I mean, you look at the wealth of Egypt and the blessings, the physical blessings that it appears that Egypt had for all these years, in all the great land and the great food and the great wealth that they had attained. And yet, we find right now that Pharaoh literally comes crawling. He called in haste and says, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Oh, now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin. Now you would think that would mean a confession, wouldn't it? That this man saved, Pharaoh's saved. He's not saved at all. He just don't know how to get rid of the situation he's in, and he knows a couple men that can. That's it. And there's the same situation over and over again. There's many a person that's been said they had a confession of faith and they've been saved because they were in a terrible car wreck or a situation in the home that was so nasty that they turned to the church and they made it, you know, made a promise to God. If you'll get me out of this, if I live through this, I'll serve you, I'll praise you. And sometimes they hold to that promise. But the sad thing is that promise is not going to get them eternal life. That promise is not going to satisfy a righteous God, because what they need to do is not promise that they'll serve. They need to come with a broken and contrite spirit, heart. They need to come and they need to repent of their sin, turning to Jesus Christ for salvation, knowing they need to be saved. That's what brings eternal life. That's what brings the power and the wisdom of God into your life. That's what brings joy to walking each day. That's what does it. And so don't miss it. Please don't miss it. He says now, therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin. Only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned the mighty wind. Remember how he brought the locusts in. He brought them in with a wind. He took them out with a wind. A mighty west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. And there remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. Look at these miracles. Look at these miracles that God's doing. Showing Pharaoh what kind of judgment comes when you reject the living God. Showing Israel the power of God in His might. That should have meant so much. Because you see, when this come, these things, they didn't bother the land of Goshen. And that's where the Israelites were living. It stayed away from Goshen. Goshen was kept from these curses. So it showed not only that it wasn't just some freak thing that come, but how come it got us and it didn't bother them? Well, again, judgment upon Egypt and a rejoicing for the deliverance of Israel from this plague, and also a beautiful picture of the strength and the power of God to the nation of Israel. Cast them into the Red Sea, not one left. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. The Lord did it. There's a point in time. It's over. It's over. And please, today, if you're listening and you're thinking about it, that means there's a need there and the heart. Please, if the Spirit of God, and you say, well, I don't know if the Spirit of God is calling me. If you're asking that question, I don't believe it's too late. I believe you need to come and ask Jesus Christ to save you. And please do it now. Please do it before it's too late. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Felt. You think about that. Now, as we look here, this call of forgiveness got rid of the locusts. But Pharaoh's heart, it's too far gone. Again, I hope your heart isn't too far gone. I hope that you still have the chance. And if you are, again, feeling the presence of God, if you're wondering, please call upon Him, because I don't believe it's too late. Pharaoh was. And we look now at a land that is totally devastated. There's not one area of the land that's untouched other than Goshen, where Israel's at. We don't have anything here that is of nothing. I mean, everything of importance is gone. Everything is destroyed. And so he comes, and you think, boy, what is left? What else could come? And, you know, and these locusts that come, it was against a god, is Serapia. And that's the god that kept the locusts away from Egypt. And so their very god that was to keep it away allowed it to come. So you see, victory once again over an earthly god, a man-made god. Our God is victor. He is victor. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. Please come to serve Him today. This darkness, the darkness was to the thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. It was a thick darkness that could be felt. It was so thick that when they would turn their lamp on, when they would light a candle or light the lamp, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. It's probably the closest thing to death and to hell that a man could experience, of this total darkness, a darkness you can feel. Now, hell, of course, has many other. They have the gnashing of teeth. Hell has the point of fire. Now, how can it be so dark and have fire? some things we, you know, we think of fire connecting with light, not necessarily. The heat is going to be so terrible. The darkness is going to be so terrible. You heard people say, well, you know, if I'm mistaken and I go to hell, there's going to be a lot of people there for me to visit with. No, there isn't. There's going to be a lot of people there, but you're not going to be visiting. You can't even see them. The only thing you're going to hear is their cries. That's it. Their cries of torment. Their cries of pain and suffering. That's what you're going to hear. I can't imagine anybody in their right mind rejecting Jesus Christ and not coming by faith. Please that you do it today. This thickness, this it was so thick and it was so dark that nobody left their house. I'm sure that the families that were within their homes probably just huddled together and held each other because you couldn't see, and it was so eerie. It was just like something was crawling on you because you could feel this darkness. And it was just that immediately you went totally, completely blind. Can't see anything. Can't do anything. I don't believe they fixed meals. I don't think they cared for the animal. They didn't do anything. They were so scared. So scared that 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. This is a time again that Israel could see God's power. The folks of Egypt, it's too late. They didn't get to see that Goshen wasn't touched because they were so taken in the darkness that they had that they couldn't see beyond that. Pharaoh called unto Moses and says, go ye, serve your Lord. Oh, finally. Of course, this is the third time. Finally, Pharaoh says, go. But once again, Pharaoh, in his ignorance, compromises. He says, but let all your animals, your livestock, stay. Going to let your livestock stay. You got to keep your animals here. You got to keep them here. Now you can go and go ahead and take your children. See, one time he said, leave your children. But now you can take your children, take your wives, go. One time he said, worship here. Compromise. Once again, Pharaoh's setting the rules. You don't set the rules with God. You don't set the rules when you say that God, I'm going to work real hard and I'm going to be really good and I'm going to help an awful lot of people. I have a lot of money. I have money, so I can give money and I'm going to help, and God, please, that would be acceptable to you. That's compromise. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be in church every Sunday. I am never going to miss a church service. I'm going to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm going to follow the Lord in baptism. I'm going to teach Sunday school. It's compromise. All those things are wonderful. All those things are good. All those things need to be done. But not when you're trying to please a righteous God. We need to trust in his free gift. You see, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's his precious blood that saves us. It's his precious blood that paid the price, the awful cost of our sin. He's the one that paid it. He paid it with his own life, with his own blood. And that precious blood is what covers me and makes me different than you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm still human. I still make mistakes. But I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm eternally saved because of Jesus. Pharaoh just kept making compromises. Is that what you're going to do? I sure hope not. I hope today you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?